These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
Where do you think people... I blanked. Go.
Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, final hour, Felger and Maz here. We open up the program talking about, and spent the first hour or so talking about the Jaguars game this week. Interesting spot, I think. Well, more interesting for the Jaguars, wouldn't you say, Maz?
Absolutely. I mean, it's a massive game, actually, when you really weigh it out. You're going to come in here last year, get to the AFC Championship game, almost beat the Patriots, and you have a young defense, like an upstart team. Now the game's in your building. It's your home opener, all of the above, and you're going to come in and lose to the Patriots again? Like, I just think it's a credibility game for that organization. This is where we find out, or at least in their minds anyway, whether Jacksonville's to be taken seriously or not. I think it's a massive game for the Jags, and it sounds ridiculous saying it in week two, but in terms of the evolution of their franchise, where they're going, huge.
What does that mean for the Patriots?
So to me, if you're the if the Patriots lose this game, I don't think that their credibility is at stake, or you know, I don't think any of that. But I think it's the kind of game that could propel Jacksonville. That's all. If the Patriots win the game, I mean, I think there's some stakes for the Patriots, but honestly, I don't think the Patriots are like, you know, treating it as an all or nothing. We have to have a kind of game.
Well, I'm just curious about that because I think in ordinary circumstances. And I'll define what that means in a second. But in ordinary circumstances, I think this is a game where they would say, let these guys celebrate their championship in September. You know, the Patriots are the ultimate long-haul,
sure,
sort of slow-build team. We see it every year. September's an extension of training camp, and they're going to have a few hiccups early on in the year, and they're going to improve through November and be playing their best in December, and we'll see you in January. And that's just the kind of team that they are, and we'll take a lump here along the way as part of the, you know, the longer arc. So that's what I think they would do in most normal circumstances. And I think if this were a normal circumstance year, they would say, you know, I mean, we're going to try and win, but we're not going to empty the playbook. We're not going to expose players who health-wise are on the bubble. We're not going to expose Gronk, who is obviously he's got a target on his back down there. And so we're going to, you know, do our best to protect him, and we'll see what happens. Maybe we win, maybe we don't, but we're not going to empty the bucket here. I think normally that's how they would treat this week. I wonder if it's different this year because of all the stuff that's been going on internally, and I felt they needed to get off to a good start because if they get off to a bad start, then all that internal stuff can fester and become worse. So get back to playing football, get back to winning, get back to establishing who you are, and all that other stuff takes care of itself. If they start out 1-2, you know, like, wow. If they start out 0-2, like some people have predicted, they would have been a disaster zone. So, I wonder. And to me, the real litmus test is Gronkowski. There's a maintenance thing on him. You've got to be careful with him. You can't expose him to too many hits. He's not going to hold up. And they 8 targets last week, all those passes down the seam, double coverage, all of that, full load for him. Do you do that this week with Jalen Ramsey waiting for you and all those linebackers and safeties and that hard-hitting defense down there? You run them down the seam 4 times a game?
I mean, if they're planning for the long haul, no.
No.
But, as I said to you earlier, I don't know, maybe we're looking at this wrong. Like, you look at this game and you say, at Jacksonville, like, this, you know, this is going to be a challenge. I mean, that Jacksonville D is legit. Murray, you were right about them last year. I felt like last year they were a smoke show, right? Total smoke and mirrors. And then they came in and it's like, that defense is legit. And they did it on the road, too, like all of it.
Yeah, a lot of speed. There's a ton of playmakers there. And one of the other things, too, typically at this point, the first month of the season, defenses are usually ahead of the offense. So it's a tough spot in terms of when they're playing the Jaguars. They are getting the home opener. They won their first week. They want to try to make a statement after the AFC Championship game. So I think this is bigger for the Jags. I'm with Maz on that. And for the most part, I agree with you, Mike. Like, they do treat the first month as an extension of the preseason, the Patriots. But I don't know. I think ever since the Jaguars talked back, I think the Patriots might be looking at this as, you know, we want to go down there and actually put them over a barrel now because there's too much chirping coming from this team that really hasn't accomplished anything.
The whole Bill Belichick thing yesterday, you know?
I thought that was so telling.
We all know what time the game starts. We'll see what happens. Like, that's him kind of engaging. So is that a tell that Bill is going to try and match Jacksonville and, you know, empty some barrels here in September, which is rare for them. They usually don't do that.
So the other variable, and I said this to you earlier, I just called it up again. You know, after this week, the Patriots have pretty much a cupcake schedule for a while. It's at Detroit, Miami at home, Indy at home. Then Kansas City comes in. But again, it's here. Not that that'll be an easy game. Then it's at Chicago, at Buffalo. Like, you know, Green Bay comes here after that. And then at Tennessee. And maybe it toughens up there for a little period of time. But you're going to have a stretch of about 6 weeks there where there's one legit game. One really legit game.
And this is it, is what you're saying.
No. Kansas City is the other one.
I see.
So, like, if you want, you maybe Belichick's looking at it saying, no, we're going to lean on Gronk the first 2 weeks because we get a couple of good defenses there. We're going to need him, especially without Edelman. So we're going to lean on Gronk in weeks one and two, and then he'll get his rest in the next 3 or 4 weeks.
And hope it's not a season-ending injury.
Exactly.
I mean, I'm just saying. So, like, to me, that's just... You know Gronkowski wants to get at Jalen Ramsey.
I mean, Detroit, Miami, and Indy are the next three.
See how Indy's playing. It's a short week. It's a Thursday night.
Indy at home.
It's here.
On Thursday night?
It's here.
It's a Thursday night game?
Yeah. Yes.
No shot. 42-10.
Oh, they'll kill them.
Kill them.
They will kill them. Like, I just, if they get past this one, they're going to be 5-0. They're not going to lose to any of those clown teams here. And Detroit? Please, the way it's going, Patricia will be lucky if he gets 11 guys to show up. They might have to forfeit, for crying out loud, the way that thing went in the opener. They're going to get their asses kicked next week.
Oh, Niners power, everyone. Look out for Jimmy G.
All right, so there's your Patriots reset there. Back to your phones, as promised. Joe in Cambridge on the Red Sox. Go ahead, Joe.
Hi, I just first want to congratulate Big Jim, because I've been listening to Boston Sports Radio for 50 years, and I think the Wheel of Gutless Bums is the funniest shtick since the Sports Huddle insisted on referring to Don Zimmer as Chiang Kai-shek, or Cliff and Claff used a reference to a character in Roots to describe George Scott.
So that...
Well, thank you, Julie. I appreciate that.
You're going back too far, and I don't like the tone of those references.
I don't like the second one especially.
Yeah.
But the Wheel of Gutless Bums Murray is a work of art. There's no question about it.
Joe, real quick, what's your thought on the Sox roster?
Okay, quick thing. Last week, Maz, you were going off on Brandon Phillips as making it unnecessary to have traded for Ian Kinsler. I don't know what you were thinking last week. I don't know what you were smoking last week. Maybe you were into that, package that got into the studio.
Ah, that's where it went. Let me just stop you there. Are you still on the Brandon Phillips thing?
Sure, why not? Yeah, I'd like to see more of them, but I don't think they are, because they would have played him more. So, to me, after that first game, I think he can give them what Kinsler gives them. That's my only point. Now, Kinsler had a nice little hot streak there, but again, I'm just no huge Ian Kinsler fan. I feel like they wasted a bullet there, and maybe they could have used those resources on a lever that they clearly need.
Okay, Dave has been waiting patiently for a Patriots take. He says he's on the tee. Maybe he's home now. Dave, are you still there?
Yep, certainly home now. Thanks for the call.
Thanks for hanging on.
Yesterday you guys were talking about McDaniels being the next head coach and how you feel okay with it, but kind of hard to put words together, so I just wanted to give my 2 cents. And I think it follows the dialogue of this team for the last 8 or 9 years in that if the offense is clicking and firing like it's supposed to, and that the defense, a phrase that's overused, but as long as they're bending and not breaking, that overall you feel comfortable with this team. And I think that's why people will feel okay with McDaniels. Thanks for the call.
Okay. I feel good about McDaniels as the next guy. I do. If I were an NFL team that had an opening, I'd feel good about hiring Josh McDaniels, especially if I had a quarterback. I would. I don't know. He was absolute abject disaster in Denver, obviously. But I'm also a firm believer that second chance is when you get, is when you really get the guy. Belichick the second time, Francona the second time, just two glaring examples here in Boston. I think he learns from his mistakes and is a better guy. I mean, I don't know. I don't know who else I'd rather have.
Yeah, I can think of at least one guy I'd rather have.
Harbaugh, other than that.
So I'd have to think about it. I'd take Mike Zimmer over Josh McDaniels. I like Zimmer. I think Zimmer can coach. And again, I don't know.
Bill O'Brien or Josh McDaniels?
McDaniels.
Thank you.
Again, if you asked me 2 weeks ago, I'd said O'Brien. But after that calamity in Foxborough, no. I'll go McDaniels there. I'll take the chance on the unknown. I just don't understand why all of a sudden we assume that Josh McDaniels is going to jump in and have no problem at all.
Josh McDaniels or this guy?
B.O.B. Boob.
Oh, my God. Isn't that Bob? No, that's O'Brien.
You meant Marone?
Yes.
Boob O'Brien. I'll tell you what.
Urgency.
Ask me again on Monday. I might lean O'Brien. I'm starting to think that Doug Marrone is dumb like a fox.
Coaches make a point of it, and coaches make a point of
a
it.
A wolf in sheep's clothing, or whatever that line
something
is?
Something like that, yeah. Something like
that. I don't know exactly what the word I'm looking for.
Urgency?
No, that wouldn't be the word. Hold on, I'll come up with it. Just more of a urgency.
Back with more after this.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Junta.
Magenta?
Junta.
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 Sometimes you have to wonder if there's a gas leak in the building.
Woohoo! Whoop-de-doo!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
What are your overall thoughts just on the Jaguars?
It's pretty tough. You know, they were a great team last year. Gave us everything we could handle into the championship game. They're at it again this year. They got the same players, similar scheme. And is as good as any defense we'll face all year. They got an incredible rush, great linebackers, great secondary. It's going to be very, very challenging, tough environment, and we'll see what we made up.
Wonder how they handle it. Do they need to go down there and shut them up? I need to go down to Jacksonville and shut up the Jags and shut up Jalen Ramsey. Do they really need to do that?
No, I mean, not to me, they don't.
They don't.
To me, Jacksonville has to prove that they can beat the Patriots. Then, to me, the level of credibility of that franchise goes in a different direction if they win that game, particularly if they win it in some sort of convincing fashion. Like, you know, if they were to beat the Patriots 23-7 or something like that, held the Patriots to 7 points, like, that would be some sort of statement. You know, like, okay, we can play with you even with Blake Bortles as a quarterback. Then the Jags would open my eyes a little bit. I think they have the capacity to do it. A lot of people don't. I think that Jacksonville defense is for real.
Back to your phones, as promised. Andrew in North Carolina on the Pats. Go ahead, Andrew.
Felger, if you recall, in the football life, Belichick was sitting down with his offensive coaches and said, if you jam Welker, again, on top of Moss, they're done. He has to be thinking the same thing with this offense. If Gronk gets hurt and you double-team Edelman, they're done. What else do they have? And another quick point, Maz, to piggyback on what you were saying about how weak the schedule is, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but you could truly make the point that their toughest game could come in the Super Bowl.
That's been that way a lot of years, frankly. But the thing about, you know what? Even with their lack of weapons, and maybe this won't play out, but I feel like the offense is better off than it was in that 09 year. The farther they went with Moss, you know, who wouldn't go over the middle, wouldn't tough it out, wouldn't run right. It's just bombs away to Moss or underneath the Welker, and they really had nothing else. Now I feel like, I don't know, they throw to running backs. The tight end is heavily involved. They get some stuff. I'd still rather have this offense than 09. I would.
I don't even think it's close. I mean, again, I feel like they have enough options here between the backs and even Dorsett. Like, at least there are guys you can throw to. It's not as good, you know, it's not a great Patriots offense, at least on paper. But they have enough right now. They do.
Red Sox playoff rotation, no matter what. If Sale's healthy, he gets a ball game one. This is it for me. Either Sale gets a ball game one or he's shut down. Or then I'll allow some little thing that if he can only pitch a little bit, you pitch him out of the bullpen. But if Sale's healthy enough to start, he's your game one starter. David Price does not get that start in game one. But that's starting to get garner a little bit of debate. Scott in Maine wants to weigh in. Go ahead, Scott.
Michael.
Yes, Scott.
I'm sorry, I'm a little bit old. I think you just woke me up from a nap.
Okay, sorry, Scott. What do you got now?
Okay, so listen. I've seen a lot better Red Sox teams with a lot less wins go a lot further. And Tony, you teach me more than I know about baseball, and I'm older than you, okay?
But am I actually hearing his machine? Like the life support machine or something?
I'm not sure what that was.
I mean, I don't mean to be mean, but I thought I actually heard the machine. Scott,
the EKG order.
Scott, get to the point, please.
Yeah, my point is I'm not an EKG, but here's my point. A 100 win team does not mean success in any way, shape, or form. And until this team gets out of the first round, That will be my only proof.
Damn straight, Scott. At the end of the day, good call. Sorry for waking you up.
Clear.
Well, it was either the heart monitor or the drip.
It's a baseball demo. It's just his. But it's
just
okay.
Woke me up from my nap.
But he's right. At least he gets it. Scott's not going out and buying a first to 100 t-shirt. I the first to 100 mentality to me, it blows me away. Not that the Red Sox are trying to make a buck off of it. That's their job. Like, I get that. But there's a market for it. There's a market for it.
There's a sucker born every minute.
All the championships you've won, you're gonna go buy a t-shirt about winning a set of number of regular season games? I can't believe that. Really?
Oh, I'm not that surprised by it at all. Again, people get swept up in this sort of thing like it actually means something. 100 games, like 100 wins. Yay. Whoopee. As I've said a million times, congratulations. Have a nice party. They do a champagne toast for that one last night, too. Is that what they did over there?
100 wins. I mean, really? But again, I'll say this. If you won 100 games in 1978, you haven't won since 1918, and it's like, okay, like, that I get. If some Loserville team, if my Milwaukee Brewers win 100 games or we win the division, like, big deal. Like, it is for us. That doesn't happen every year. Fine. We're losers. That's for us, not for you. 10 championships here, Super Bowls, Stanley Cups, NBA Finals, World Series. The last one was just a couple years ago, 5 years ago. Not like you got it working on some 40-year drought or something here. You're going to celebrate 100 win, first 100? The first 100, it's even better. Like,
because there are more coming.
We beat the Astros to 100.
The Astros are going to next to 100. Yay.
God.
That 78 team, see, 100 actually would have meant something for them because they finished with 99 and missed the playoffs.
Chris and Chelmsford on this. Go ahead, Chris.
So I think the Red Sox got to 100 faster than that last call. I got to his point. My first to 100 shirt, I don't know if I'm reading it right, but it says first to 100 WHIP. What does that mean?
First 100 WHIP? Is he making a joke that I don't want to think about?
I have no idea. Me neither.
First 100 whip. Is he saying that the bullpen sucks, so first to 100, first have a bad whip?
I have no idea what he's talking about.
I hate jokes that I have to try and figure out what he means.
I hate jokes.
That's why we don't do jokes.
I hate stupid jokes.
Just call and give us your take and then get off the phone. Save the jokes for someone else.
Tell me a good joke. I like it.
No, I don't even want that.
No, I'll take a good joke. That joke sucks.
No, because when you open up jokes, for every good one, you get 100 bad ones.
I didn't say we should open up for jokes. I said if someone offered a joke, I'll take it if it's a good one. That joke sucked.
We're not taking jokes.
That joke blew.
Rich in Connecticut. Go ahead, Rich.
Hey, the way it shakes out right now, the Red Sox are going to be the number one seed, obviously, with the best record. So they're going to play the wild card winner, correct?
Yes, sir.
It looks like that's going to be the winner of the Yankees-A's game.
That's correct. Right.
So you would say if the Yankees won that game, you would have David Price pitch game one of a best-of-five series at Fenway Park in game one.
I wouldn't. I'm sorry. I'm going to cut you off. I wouldn't.
He pitched well against him the last time.
I wouldn't. I'm all in on David Price. I guess I shouldn't say I'm all in because I'm not making my number one starter. I'm not making my day one starter, my game one, game five starter. I'm not.
You're 85% in.
No, I'm in on David Price as the number two guy in his role behind Chris Sale, and he's going to win this year. That's all I'm saying. Never did I say he's going to turn to your ace and your workhorse and your game one, game seven guy. No. I'm not ready for that. I'm ready for him to finally win a postseason game after, 12 years in the league.
So, he's basically been your ace for the last month.
I do understand that. And as Murray's pointed out, he's had Cy Young years where he's gotten into the postseason and crapped his pants. So,
yeah, I'm not taking the cheese.
I'm taking the cheese a little bit. I'm taking some cheese. I'm not taking the full wedge in my gullet. I'm not.
You're taking but a half cheese.
I'm not.
Half a wedge.
I am not doing it.
Half a wheel.
Rocco and Saugus, so we talked about this NBA list as well, this Sports Illustrated NBA list. Rocco and Saugus wants to weigh in on that quickly. Go ahead, Rocco.
Hey, Mike. How you doing, buddy?
Good, Rocco. How are you, man?
Good. Listen, quick on Marmon. Have you ever heard of a guy named Vincent DeChen? Or you can Google him. Listen, he's a guy that plays stupid, but he was a boss of boss. That's who Marmon reminds me of. That's who he actually kind of looks like him. Quick on the S side thing, right? The person who got disrespected the most in this list, personally, in my opinion, I think it's Klay Thompson, the best two-way shooting guard in the game. I mean, you had a caller talk about Damon Green lost the finals. I don't really believe that. Kyrie Irving, that finals took.
Where does Klay rank?
Good. 22. Kyrie Irving took Steph Curry to school that year, and Steve Kerr made the mistake. What did he do the next year? He put Klay on Kyrie, and Kyrie wasn't even relevant. That's why you guys got people like Chris Paul, Jimmy Butler, and Draymond Green, and Al Horford over Klay? Are you kidding me? That's a disrespect on Klay.
Good point. Draymond Green's 13 and Klay Thompson's 22.
I like Klay Thompson. I'd take Klay Thompson any day of the week.
Me too. Absolutely.
Draymond Green's way overrated. Way overrated. He's a role player. If you made him a centerpiece guy in a team, that team would be average at best. They might even suck.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. The Sports Hub.
0-2. Yes. He struck him out. And the Red Sox win it 1-0. And for the first time in over 7 decades, the Boston Red Sox have won 100 games. First time since 1946.
Like, I don't mind Bill, Dave O'Brien. I don't mind Dave O'Brien, like, mentioning it. Fine, 100, okay, fine. Like, I'm not saying ignore the thing. And the Red Sox making a T-shirt about it? Well, okay, you want to make some money, so fine, it's America.
I mean, that was coming, right? You knew, I mean, like, they were going to do something like that.
If they did first to 50 a couple years ago, they sure as hell were going to do first to 100 this year. So, they're shameless. I expect it from them. You going to buy that T-shirt? You. And, you know, again, some of the guys who've been writing about it, you know, it's just appreciate the, forget the future, appreciate the 100 wins. And 100 wins should be celebrated. But all the championships that have been won here, you know, turn around, celebrate regular season wins that really don't mean anything. I mean, the only regular season wins that mean anything are those that get you the division or home field, which are important, and I'll grant you that. So it's good you win the division, good that you're home and all of that. But after that, what's the difference between 197 and 103 and 106? It's just a number. You're going to celebrate that after all the rings and all the championships and all the parades you've had here? That's insane.
No, I think the bigger number becomes problematic because with the bigger number, now that you're in triple digits, they finished with 106, 107. Again, now the pressure's all on. You have to win. You have to get to the World Series.
100%.
With that record, anything less than that, anything less than getting there. I mean, anything less than winning it all is a massive disappointment after this season, the best Red Sox team ever, right? But if you don't even get there, you're setting yourself for a real mocking.
It's so bad. I don't want to see that T-shirt if you lose in this round. Yeah, because I'll have a better one for you. Murray's got one coming.
First to be bounced. For a gag. The big asterisk right there.
First a choke.
Pat Weymouth with a thought on this. Hi, Pat.
Hey, I just had a couple of questions. The first to 100 is great, but what did that do for the Patriots that went 17-0?
Bingo.
You know what I mean? That's one point. And two, like Maz said, you won 50 games against bums. So it's first to 100, but 50 of them sucked. You know what I mean? And what last year in the postseason, they were going into the bullpen in the second inning. What are you going to do this year if we got to go to the bullpen? We're just going to give up? I mean, when's the last time somebody won the World Series with no bullpen?
Pat, great call. Outstanding.
He was just like the guy yesterday.
No, but the T-shirt idea is perfect. First 100, but what if 50 of them suck? That's what's got to be on there.
Parenthetical, but 50 suck.
But what if 50 of them suck?
I like that. First to 100 on the back, but on the front, the 50 on the back.
What if 50 of them suck? Oh, it's so true, though. I mean, Baltimore is going to be single-handedly responsible for 3 or 4 teams in the American League winning 100 games. Houston is 92 with like 18 left.
Yeah, in Baltimore, they're doing last to 100.
It's unbelievable.
I'm sorry. Go.
And then, you know, the Yankees, Mike, the Yankees are the second-best record in baseball. Believe it or not, they'll probably get to 100. Oakland's a game behind them. You might have 4 teams in the American League get to 100. So you got there a week before they did. And you're going to buy a T-shirt about that?
Oh, God, please. It means complete Jackson. And if they get into the postseason and get their asses kicked, they're going to look like a bunch of donkeys again for the third year in a row. They better win this October. They better win at least a series.
Rick in New Hampshire, what do you got for us?
Hey, hi, Mike.
I'm out of my mind a little bit because I don't understand why you don't think this coming game against Jacksonville is like that important that they might, you know, want to just say, you know what, don't use Gronkowski that much. Don't do this. Don't do that. When it could turn out to be the tiebreaker at the end of the season and who has home field advantage for the AFC championship. I don't get it.
Okay, so I think that, you know, it's possible this could play into tiebreakers. I mean, it could, obviously. If it's you and Jacksonville, the first is head-to-head. So it could play out that way, and maybe Bill treats it like that. It's very rare for that to happen in week two.
Sure.
For a non-division opponent. But fair, I mean, maybe he might. I mean, I think Maz, again, how seriously are the Pats going to take this? Because usually September is a slow ramp-up kind of month. They have their hiccups, and it's extended the training camp and all of that. And they don't fire too many bullets in September. It's just typically not how they do it. Would they be tempted to do it this week because of Jacksonville's mouth, really, and the challenges they've laid down, and or because of that? Because you really fear Jacksonville as that team down the road. Maybe they do. I don't know. I just have a hard time putting them in that, like, Denver category when Denver's good, or Indy category when they were good with Peyton Manning, or even the Ravens when they were good. I just have a hard time thinking that Jacksonville's going to be there on that level.
With good reason. I mean, look, they haven't done it yet. That's why, because they don't have the credentials yet. I'm just telling you that this kind of win is the one that can sort of elevate them a little bit. And if not in the eyes of everyone else, then maybe in their own minds. Like, I just think that for the Jags, it's a big game this week. If you are a Jags fan, if such a thing exists, for crying out loud, but if you're someone down there that is really hardcore into that team and you believe now they're going in the right direction, they brought in Coughlin, the defense is good, Bortles started to develop and they signed him, blah, 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 blah. If you believe that, they came up here in the AFC Championship game, they had him beat. I mean, they had him beat. They were this close to going to the Super Bowl. Now they week two at home, first game of the year, and New England's in there. You got to win that game.
If you're them.
If you're them, you got to win that game.
If you're you, you don't have to win the game.
No. It's not a must win for the Patriots. It's more important to the Jags than it is to the Patriots.
Nothing to prove. You know, it's, and you figure it's coming, that they have the September hiccup one or two. Everyone loses their minds. They circle the wagons, they ignore the noise, they on to Cincinnati, they overcome the adversity. Like, it just sort of sets up like they do that every year. And so maybe this is the week. I mean, just saying, I wonder if this is not a scheduled loss, but this is just sort of that spot where it happens. And they let it happen. Let Jacksonville celebrate their Super Bowl in September. They don't understand what it means. We don't need this game. I don't know. I'm careful with Gronk. I'm not running him down the seam, you know, four or five times a game like I did in week one. I'm not doing that. David Wellesley, what do you got, David?
Hey, quick question. Is Big Boy Bedard still coming on your guys' show?
Yeah, he was on the other day.
Okay, I've been away, so I missed it. I want to make sure. I know you guys had some little issue with his making fun of his tapes.
No, I mean, not enough for him to boycott us. Tuesdays from 2 to 4.
Okay, good to hear. Quick question. So I'm watching the Jets racked all the lines the other night, right? And I know it was probably Patricia and them, you know, the Lions just quitting. But, you know, I'm on the couch getting kind of horny watching the Jets. It's the defense, and it's reminding me of 2010 when there was actual, you know, a formidable opponent in the AFC East. I have a two-part question. A, wouldn't it be great for the Jets to be good so we actually have something to watch when we're playing with our own division? And then B, are the Jets good? I really think it's probably more Lions, but I'm sort of just wishful thinking that they are good.
Okay. I think their talent's underrated. I think they have some young guys on D who can play.
Yeah, those linebackers are good.
I was just going to say that line. Why am I missing?
58.
Oh, my God.
He can play.
They've got a couple of really good young linebackers. So they got some young guys on D. That guy up front from USC is a stud.
Leonard Williams.
Leonard Williams. And then again, I'm just so bad with names. Don't they have a new safety, too?
Jamal Adams, who they drafted last year, who's a stud.
Okay, so yeah. they've got
some nice pieces there.
They've got, like, some three or four young guys. And I think their receiving core is underrated. Like, I think Quincy Enunwa is a beast. And that Anderson kid, not bad. I don't know about their line. I love Bilal Powell. I always have. And maybe that Darnold kid can play. So I think the talent is coming. I don't know about the coach. I think it seems like he's good. You know, can he match with Belichick? No freaking way.
Well, who can?
Like, not even close, but does he have a clue? I don't know. At least he's Bowles, I don't think, is one of these guys that's buried in his play sheet. It's not like he's the defensive play caller and doesn't pay attention to the other side of the ball. He might be one of these guys that pays attention to neither, you know. But I don't think he's, at least he's a head coach, and he lets the offense go to the offense, the defense go to the defense, and he's, so I don't know about the coach. It's all going to come down to whether that quarterback can play and if they ruin him or not. Because you know the Jets could ruin him.
Oh, of course they could. Yeah, go ahead, Murray.
But just on the defense, though, like if they start to stack together a few wins early, I mean, at the very least, they won't be a pushover later in the season. You know, I think we'll get an entertaining product, unlike the last few years where it's just like, you know, you walk into these games and they're useless.
And that's something that I just find amazing. Dave's not the first guy I've heard say this. I've heard a lot of, you know, longtime Patriots fans. Murray's one of them. But a lot of Patriots people who've grown up hating the Jets who've said, boy, I hope Darnold can play. It'd be great to have another quarterback in the division. It has been so bad and so wretched and so uncompelling in this division for so long that there are people who are rooting for the Jets and their young quarterback to actually be good. Isn't that amazing?
Sure. Yeah, I mean,
but that's how bad it's been.
Well, it just goes to show you how much of a wasteland the AFC East has been, for crying out loud. But with Bowles, too, I don't know. I get the sense he can coach defense.
Well, they play for him. There's that. But I don't get the sense he's the defensive play caller. I don't think he is. So
he was the defensive guy in Arizona, though, right?
I don't know. I can't remember his background. He seems decent. He doesn't seem like an abject disaster, but is he any good? I don't know. Danny in Boston on the Red Sox. Go ahead, Danny.
Hey, guys. First off, I'm embarrassed to see these 100-win T-shirts. I didn't realize that Boston's just become Atlanta. Like, this
Thank
is
you.
Actually embarrassing.
Thank you.
But that's not really what I'm calling. I actually thought of an idea of maybe, what about giving Rick Porcello a chance in the eighth inning? The guy kind of reminds me of Derek Lowe. You know, he's got the fastball. He's running in with the two-seamer, but he throws strikes. In late innings, tight sphincter syndrome. I mean, if a guy can throw strikes and just pound you inside, I like to think that that could work and translate.
All right. What do you think, Maz, of Porcello in the bullpen?
So I just don't think he has the stuff, and I don't think Derek Lowe had the stuff. So Derek Lowe closed for a year and then was a disaster for the next one and ultimately ended up where he was supposed to, which is in the rotation and, not unlike Porcello, would pitch a ton of innings and go 15-13 or 14-12. Give you a little bit about .500, save your staff. He was a middle of the rotation guy. So I like Porcello. I like his makeup. I just don't think he has the arm for it.
He doesn't throw hard enough.
Yeah. Now, look, there were times where he hits 94 and you say, okay, but he's hittable. He's hittable. He's not throwing 98, 99 with a nasty breaking ball, or he's not that, or a ridiculous chain. He's just not that kind of guy. I'm not criticizing him for it. He is who he is. He just doesn't have the raw stuff to pitch late in the game.
I mean, you've said it before. Their guy's Barnes.
I mean, I think it's Barnes. I think that's the guy they're going to go with. Cora actually addressed this a little bit tonight over at Fenway Park. You know, the specifics of the eighth inning. And I'm telling you, I personally don't love the answer that he gave.
All right, you'll be hearing more of that. I'm sure you'll be getting that in the Baseball Reporters at 6. The final word comes your way next.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. The Sports Hub. The Sports Hub.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you are looking for the best deal on tires, there is only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody. No one, Jim.
We have something about, I forget what this was even about at this point. Felger take cake? You wanted your take cake and to eat it too, right?
No. I want my, be able to make a take and eat it too.
Yeah. Yes, that's right. When we were talking about the ranking the top five teams right now after 1 week in the NFL.
Is it Weasley, Connor, for me to say, and you tell, I'm asking you honestly, I'm not like busting your chops or anyone's chops. If I just say, I think like, they should be the third or fourth best team in the league, but I don't know who 1, 2, and 3 are. Is that Weasley? Do I have to name 1, 2, and 3?
No. You don't have to name 1, 2, and 3, but you need to name like 3 teams above them that you think, oh, this team can beat the Patriots, can, you know, 8 out of 10 times.
No, so then I need to name 1, 2, or 3.
8 out of 10 times?
Yeah.
Why do they have to beat them 8 out of 10 times?
No. So, I mean, because generically it feels like, because of Belichick and Brady, they're going to be right up there.
Sure.
At the end in the final four. So they're there, but the rest of that roster is, I'm sorry, it's not an elite roster. It's not a best in the league kind of roster. It's not. So they feel to me like they're somewhere in the top five, but I don't know who's going to emerge, but someone will. Right? So I don't know who the good... You never know. No one knew Philly was going to be that kind of team last year, but someone always emerges who's the best. So it's like, I know it's unacceptable, but
the take cake is still baking.
No, it's a... it's,
no, but that's... I want to eat my take. I want to have my take and eat it too. I do. I want to say they're top. They're the fourth best team in the league, but I don't want to give you 1, 2, and 3 because I don't know who they are. But someone will become 1, 2, and 3. You know what I'm saying?
Of course, yeah. And I don't think that's a bad way to necessarily look at it either now that I think of it.
It's Weasley.
And Maz, your current rankings are, refresh me, it's 1 Vikings, 2 Kansas City, 3 Saints.
No, I don't have Kansas City second. I have the Rams up there too.
Okay, that's right. Yeah, the Rams.
In fact, I might even have the Rams 1 right now. The Rams looked awesome. Might be the Rams.
Where are the Pats?
And where are the Niners?
Yeah, right around 4. I mean, the Pats right around 4, somewhere around there. They're just not number 1. Not after beating a team that didn't have a quarterback, crying out loud.
More of this coming up in the Baseball Reporters, but here's a quick snippet of Maz on the Red Sox reaching 100 wins last night for the first time since 1946.
The Red Sox have won 100 games, Maz. Should we care?
Yeah, not really. No! No, of course not. I was being a wise ass. Why should you care? I mean, yeah, it's a nice little thing. Don't get me wrong. 72 years, 100 wins. They put it up on the scoreboard. Great. You get your 10 minutes out of it. Woohoo. Like, again, if it lasts more than 4 hours, seek a doctor's attention or help. Call your doctor. Okay? Is the point. But, like, the 100 wins, what good does it do at the end of the day if they get bounced in the first round again? So, to me, the regular season, enormous success. Enormous. They're going to run away with the division. They're going to win 107 games or whatever the hell the number is going to be. Maybe more. I don't know. Maybe they get to 110. What's the difference? To me, long ago, we came to the realization that it was going to be all about October. All about October. In some cases, individually as well as collectively, whether it's David Price, Dave Dombrowski, or the group as a whole. So, look, it's a nice number.
But who cares?
Yeah, but it doesn't mean anything. I mean, big deal.
But again, Matt, how do you do that? How do you do that? Seriously.
I got strong cheeks.
Yeah, it's not that much of a skill, really. Practice it a little, it'll work.
It's a cheek thing?
Yeah.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah, there it is.
Mine was meager, but
I mean, I hate to tell you this, but I think your cheeks are a little loose.
Yeah,
they have fat cheeks. Fat
where I was going.
That mouth has put in some work.
I get it.
Finally, in case you didn't know, maybe this could be a new commandment to the show. Joke free on Felger and Maz. No jokes.
Chris and Chelmsford on this. Go ahead, Chris.
So I think the Red Sox got to 100 faster than that last call. I got to his point. My first to 100 shirt, I don't know if I'm reading it right, but it says first to 100 WHIP. What does that mean?
First to 100 WHIP? Is he making a joke that I don't want to think about?
I have no idea. No, me neither.
I don't know.
First to 100 whip. Is he saying that the bullpen sucks, so first to 100, first to have a bad whip?
I have no idea what he's talking about.
I hate jokes that I have to try and figure out what he means.
I hate jokes.
I hate jokes. That's why we don't do jokes.
I hate stupid jokes.
Just call and give us your take and then get off the phone. Save the jokes for someone else.
Tell me a good joke. I like it.
No, I don't even want that.
No, I'll take a good joke. That joke sucks.
No, because when you open up jokes, for every good one, you get 100 bad ones.
I didn't say we should open up for jokes. I said if someone offered a joke, I'll take it if it's a good one. That joke sucked.
We're not taking jokes.
That joke blew.
Seriously. A freaking clown show. It is.
Felger and Maz.